reading is from Genesis chapter 27, which is page 28 in the church Bibles, which will be underneath the seat in front of you or on your seat as you came in. Starting from verse 1. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for his eldest son Esau and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats, so that I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, while I have smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him, and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of her elder son Esau, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goatskins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he proceeded to bless him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat, so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him, and he ate. And he brought some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, please sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I am your son," he answered, "your firstborn, Esau." Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, me too, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." Esau said, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? This is the second time he has taken advantage of me. He took my birthright, and now he's taken my blessing." Then he asked, "Haven't you reserved any blessing for me?" Isaac answered Esau, "I have made him lord over you, and have made all his relatives his servants, and I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." Then Esau wept aloud. His father Isaac answered him, "Your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, he will throw his yoke from off your neck." Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." When Rebekah was told what her elder son Esau had said, she sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Your brother Esau is planning to avenge himself by killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. When your brother is no longer angry with you and forgets what you did to him, I'll send word for you to come back from there. Why should I lose both of you in one day?" Then Rebekah said to Isaac, "I'm disgusted with living because of these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living."
Thanks, Jen. Well read. I'm going to pray as we start. Father, you tell us that whatever was written in former days in the Old Testament was written for our instruction. And so we pray that by your Holy Spirit now you might instruct us. Fill us with a greater, bigger, more glorious picture of your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. What are the most important words anyone's ever spoken to you? What are the most important words anyone has ever spoken to you? The defining words of your life, if you like. Maybe it was that Oxford offer letter that came through the post a few months or a couple of years ago. "Dear such and such, we'd love to offer you a place to study at." Maybe it was that question for some of us, "Will you marry me?" Or maybe it was the answer back, "Yes." Maybe it was just the loving kindness of our parents for years and years and years, knowing we were loved because they told us so, and knowing we could never do anything to lose that love. I remember sitting my parents down in the living room a few years ago and telling them something I knew I should have told them months and months and months before and hadn't, because I was so scared of what they would say and what they would think. And I told them, and their answer was, or their reply was, "We love you, nothing will ever change that." Defined my life, in a sense, knowing that love from my parents for me. Of course, it may be words, not that we long to hear, but that have been very, very hard for us to hear. Bullying at school, or rejection, or disappointment from our parents time after time after time. Certain things we long to hear, certain words we long to have spoken over us, certain words we wish had never been heard spoken to us, certain words we wish we'd never heard. We've been following a family in Genesis 25 through 27 over the last few weeks. And the two sons, Jacob and Esau, one of them will hear words today in the passage that will define the rest of his life, change his life forever, define his future, define his very identity, define his standing before the Lord Almighty. Those words are their father's blessing, Isaac's blessing over one of them. In the Bible, blessing, in Genesis, blessing is usually significant. When God creates the world and creates humanity in Genesis 1 and 2, he blesses humanity. He puts them in an amazing relationship with himself, with one another, and with the world that he's made. They live in right fellowship and communion with the God of the universe, and they throw it away. They don't want God's blessing. And the result, desperately sadly, in Genesis 3 is curse. And from Genesis 3, humanity is living under God's curse. But then in Genesis 12, we're introduced to a man called Abraham. Abraham, and the Lord says to him, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be your God. You're going to have descendants that are as numerous as the sand on the seashore. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your descendants. And through your descendants, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Back in right relationship with me and right relationship with one another and right relationship with the world that I have made. And the story of Genesis is through whom will that blessing come? Who's it going to come to? It comes to Abraham's son, Isaac. And now here is Isaac with two sons, a very, very elderly man, and the one he blesses will be the one through whom the blessing comes. His words are hugely significant for Jacob and Esau. His words are, in a sense, prophetic over their life. What he says will be what happens to them for the rest of their life. Who he blesses will be who God blesses. And so the question is, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? The great tragedy, of course, of this family, Jacob and Esau and Isaac and his wife Rebecca, is they are messed up. They are dysfunctional and broken, driven apart by jealousy and playing favorites. So we learned 2 weeks ago that Isaac loves Esau because Isaac, who's got a bit of a taste for wild game, loves the one that gets him wild game. Esau's a bit of a pro with a bow and arrow. Whereas Rebecca, who stays at home amongst the tents most of the time, well, she loves Jacob because that's what he does. He stays at home amongst the tents. And the question is, what's going to happen in this broken, dysfunctional family when God's blessing, the most defining words that anyone could ever hear, is spoken? Have a look at verse 1. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for his eldest son Esau and said to him, My son, here I am, he answered. Isaac said, I'm an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and bow. Go out to the open country, hunt some wild game for me, prepare me the kind of tasty food I like, and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die. Isaac, he knows God's blessing is everything. He knows God's blessing is everything. But he doesn't much like the one who God has said he will bless. Because God has said he will bless Jacob and not Esau, but Isaac prefers Esau, and so he tries to force God's hand. He doesn't trust what God has said, and so he tries to force God's hand. He takes Esau aside privately and says, look, I'm going to bless you today. By rights, both sons should be in the room when the blessing comes. That's what happens later in Genesis. But Isaac privately takes Esau aside and says, I'm going to bless you today. Maybe no one else will notice. But Rebecca, I think we probably know where Jacob got his craftiness from, because Rebecca's listening in at the door, ear pressed to the door of the tent, and she hears in verse 5. And so when Esau scurries off, feeling pretty pleased with himself with his bow and arrow, Rebecca grabs Jacob and goes, Jacob, Jacob, Jacob. Verse 6. I overheard your father say to your brother Esau. And then she hatches her plan in verse 8. Now, my son, listen carefully. Do what I tell you. Go out to the flock. Bring me 2 choice young goats so that I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Rebecca, she knows that God's blessing is everything as well. She knows the one to whom the blessing is going to come, Jacob. But she doesn't really trust God to get it done. She doesn't try and force God's hand, but she does take matters into her own hands. And Jacob's not an idiot. And so in verse 11, he kind of recognizes there might be an issue if he rocks up in his dad's bedroom when he's Jacob, not Esau. And he says, what if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him. I'm pretty sure you would be tricking him, Jacob. I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than the blessing. His mother says, my son, let the curse fall on me. If she knew anything about the curse of God, she would never say that. Let the curse fall on me, she says. Just do what I tell you. And that's exactly what Jacob does. And what Rebecca does is she hides Jacob in the clothes of Esau, so he smells like Esau. She puts goat skins on him, so he's hairy rather than hairless. And she sends him in to her father. Both Rebecca and Isaac, they know that God's blessing is everything. but neither of them trust God with the blessing. Isaac's trying to force God's hands. Rebecca is trying to take matters into her own hands. Neither of them trust God with the blessing. And maybe if we were honest, we would say the same thing, or we wouldn't say it, but we might think it. So maybe we don't trust what the blessing is. And we think God's blessing must mean such and such. It must mean a beautiful, wonderful career after university. It must mean a spouse. It must mean a wonderful life once we leave university, very comfortable. Maybe we think the blessing must mean a certain relationship, which God says is wrong. And we think we'll force God's hands. We'll make the blessing be what we want it to be. It's interesting exactly what Isaac does in verse 27. When he blesses who he thinks is Esau, the blessing is very Esau-like. Have a look. Verse 27. The smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness and abundance of grain and new wine. And he goes on. The thing about this blessing, it doesn't sound very much like the promises God has made to Abraham. It's not very Abrahamic, if you like. There's very little about the promises God has made to Abraham about how he's going to bless him. That's sort of left behind. You turn over the page to chapter 28. When Isaac eventually blesses Jacob, things sound a lot more like they should sound like. So verse 3, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful, increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessings given to Abraham, so that you may take possession of the land where you now reside as a foreigner. That sounds like the sort of blessing that Isaac should be blessing his son with. But because he's trying to force God's hand, he tries to change the nature, the content of the blessing. He says to God, actually, I think the blessing will be better off if it was such and such, or such and such. He tries to force God's hand. A relationship that we really, really, really desperately want, and God says no, and we think, oh, that must be blessing anyway. It must be. Or an area of disobedience that we know God says is an area of disobedience because we've read it, but we think, how couldn't that be the way that God is going to bless me? Very easy not to trust the Lord. God's blessing is everything, but trust him. Rebecca, of course, does the same thing in a slightly different way. She takes matters into her own hands. She doesn't trust the Lord to accomplish what he says he's going to accomplish, and so she takes matters into her own hands. She doesn't trust the means that God is going to use to bring about his promises. So I don't know, maybe you're desperate to grow in godliness and grow in love for the Lord Jesus, but you just think there might be a shortcut to the normal, ordinary things, like coming to church and meeting with other Christians and reading a Bible and praying and serving. If only I had that sort of experience. If only I did this particular thing, that would be the means by which I was blessed. Or maybe we think we can just shortcut the way to blessing, the way to growing godliness and to love Jesus. We think, well, I want to live for Jesus at university, but I'm not sure it's necessary really to worry about Jesus too much over the vac. Or, well, I'm pretty busy over the university term, but I'll worry about Jesus a bit more when the vac comes. And we think we can just shortcut the means by which God is going to bless us, going to grow us in godliness, keep us going with the Lord Jesus. In fact, I was standing over there a couple of years ago when a student said exactly that to me. I've got finals coming up, Joel. They're not very far away. I'll get involved in church life when I move to a different place and when my finals are finished. And then I'll be a committed, faithful member of a church. But for now, well, I don't need to worry about it too much because, well, I've got finals. And the Lord says we can't take matters into our own hands. We need to trust him, not just with what the blessing is, but also with the means by which the blessing comes. The sad thing, of course, for Isaac and for Rebecca, is that Isaac fails. Have a look at verse 33. Trying to force God's hand. But in verse 33, Isaac trembled violently. Literally, Isaac trembled a very great trembling. He tries to force God's hand, but he fails. And Rebecca, who loves Jacob being at home amongst the tents, well, by the end of the chapter, Jacob's been cast away into exile, and we don't think that Rebecca ever saw the son that she loved again. Neither of them trusted God with God's blessing, and it ended up going very badly for both of them. God's blessing is everything, but trust him. Let's keep going in the story. Jacob goes in to see his son. Jacob goes in to see his father in verse 19, and he lies. I'm Esau. He talks a little bit too much, and Isaac smells a rat. In verse 22, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. At which point, Jacob starts saying a lot less. Do you notice that? And then in verse 24, Isaac, he's an old man, he can't see. And he's not an idiot, but there comes a time when you've got to trust your closest family, when you're old, and your mental faculties are slowing down, and when your eyesight is not what it was. You have to trust your wife and your son. He says, are you really my son Esau? And it's terrible, isn't it, in verse 24? I am. What sort of son would lie to his father like that? But it goes on. And Jacob goes close, and Isaac smells the smell of his son Esau's clothes on Jacob, and so he blesses him. Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. Jacob follows after his mum, really, trying to force God's hand. He does, and it's terrible. And yet, there's something wonderful about this story if we've got the eyes to see. Because the story of Genesis, like I've said, is a story of who the blessing is going to come to. Who's going to be the child of the promise? And that's the story of Genesis. And then that's the story of the Old Testament. And so we're introduced to the child in Matthew's Gospel. The son of Abraham, the Lord Jesus. The one who was truly blessed by God for all eternity. The one who did nothing to earn God's displeasure in any single way. The one who earned God's blessing all the way through. The one who was promised right from Genesis 3. And then there's us. Naked, in Genesis 3 language. Naked and ashamed. Doing nothing to earn God's blessing in any single way. Words from a song I like. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. We have and had nothing. Jesus, the child of the promise, had everything, and yet Jesus let it go. He let it go. The family, Jacob and Esau and Isaac and Rebekah, they grasp and they cheat and they steal and they lie, grasping to get the blessing from God himself. They do anything they can to get it. And Jesus came along, who really had it, was really owed it all the way through, and yet he let it go. And Rebecca said, let the curse fall on me, my son. And Jesus said that, and yet he really knew what that meant. Take this cup from me, this cup of your anger. Take it from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. He knew what it meant to be cursed by the God of the universe. He had it all, and he gave it all away. So that you and I can be blessed in him. We can receive the blessings of relationship with God, put back in right relationship with him and right relationship with one another and ultimately right relationship with the world that we live in. We can, if you like, be clothed in the Lord Jesus' smell and wear his clothes and have his offering in place of our offering. We can be blessed in the one who is owed all blessing. God's blessing is everything. Gain it in Christ. God's blessing is everything. Gain it in Christ. There is nothing more defining, more future shaping, more secure than the words of God spoken over us. You are my son. There is no condemnation now for those of us that are in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. There are no more life-transforming words than the words God speaks over his people. God's blessing is everything. Get it, at all costs, get it in Christ. That's Jacob and Isaac and Rebecca. One more character in the story. one desperately, desperately sad character. And that's Esau. Verse 33. Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence. And his brother comes in. Maybe Jacob goes out one door of the tent and Esau comes in the other door. Maybe if Esau had cooked his stew just a little bit quicker, but he's too late. And so Esau comes in, feeding thieves with himself. In he comes. Verse 31. Please sit up, eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. And then the terrible words. Who are you? And Isaac is confused. And Esau says, I'm your son, your firstborn, I'm Esau. And Isaac trembles. And the game is up. And then look at verse 34. Esau burst out with a loud and a bitter cry and said to his father, bless me too, my father. There's no blessing left. Those words that would shape his whole life, bring him into fellowship and communion with God of the universe, there's no blessing left. And then verse 38, Esau said to his father, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father. Then Esau wept aloud. God's blessing is everything, so cling to Christ. Because Esau resolutely doesn't. Do you remember 2 weeks ago, Esau sells his birthright for a bowl of stew? Just before our chapter, Esau's married two foreign women, despising his parents, and ultimately despising the God of his parents. Hebrews 12 actually uses Esau as an example for us. If we get to turn there, let's go to Hebrews 12, verse is page 1211. And verse 16. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. It's desperate, really. For the sake of the pleasure of food and his stomach being filled, for the sake of sexual pleasure, he sold his inheritance down the river. He despised relationship with the Lord. He walked away for the sake of a meal and for the sake of sexual pleasure. He didn't cling to the blessing. He didn't cling on. He thought nothing of it. Very easy for us to think that if you want to find blessing, find it in pleasure. Find it in hedonism. Go out, have a nice time. Gorge yourself on entertainment over the back. A relationship which God says is wrong, we think, but it looks so good. So hard to believe that blessing is truly found in relationship with the God of the universe sometimes. And if you're ever tempted to think that, like I am, look at Esau's response when he loses out. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. There are no more glorious words to be spoken over you or I than the blessing God speaks over those of us in Christ. There is nothing in the universe more terrible than despising the blessing for the sake of a sexual relationship or for the sake of temporary pleasure, which fades very, very quickly. God's blessing is everything. Trust him with it. Gain it in Christ. And then cling with everything you have to Christ. Because to lose God's blessing is to lose, well, it's to lose everything. I was reading a journalist's account of becoming a British citizen a couple of days ago. And she went to a ceremony in Camden to become a citizen. And she's a Pakistani lady, but fairly well to do. And it wasn't a particularly significant thing for her in some ways. I think it meant she could skip the queue at airports a bit quicker. But as the nationalities of the people who were becoming British citizens was read out, the nationality Iraq was read. And this Pakistani journalist looked to her right, and there was an Iraqi man. And when the name Iraq was read, he looked up and gave a little kind of nod of assent. And his eyes started to fill with tears. And then this journalist just looked at this Iraqi chap for the rest of the time. She didn't know what had happened to him, why he'd had to flee from Iraq, why he gained citizenship, how he'd been able to. She didn't know anything about him. But it meant everything to him. It meant everything. And she watched, his eyes filled with tears as words were spoken over him and to him, welcoming him as a citizen of the United Kingdom, welcoming him as a subject of Her Majesty the Queen. Words that radically changed his present experience, comfort and security, radically changed future hopes living in the United Kingdom. Words that changed everything for him. And if you're a Christian here today, no matter what words have been spoken over to you, good or ill, wonderful or terrible in your past, if you're in Christ here this afternoon, the most life-transforming, life-shaping, life-defining words have been spoken over you in Christ. You're my son. You will inherit the world. There is no condemnation for you. Imagine that day when the Lord Jesus returns and God the Father says to us, well done, good and faithful servant. When he speaks that over every single one of us, be a wonderful day, because God's blessing really is wonderful. God's blessing is everything. Trust him. God's blessing is everything. Gain it in Christ. God's blessing is everything. Cling to him. Let me pray. Father God, we're sorry when we don't trust you with your blessing. We think we should force your hands. We think we should take matters into our own hands. We're sorry we don't trust that your blessing really is everything, and the fleeting pleasures of sin seem so much more attractive. Father, in your kindness, please would we gain your blessing in Christ. And please, if we have already, would we cling tenaciously to him. Please, 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 would we never let him go. We pray it for his sake. Amen.